God's Word, if you please turn to Acts 24. And we're going to look at verses 24 through 27, page 665 in the church Bible in your pew. Acts 24 and 24, where we begin with. And I got another message this morning. You could kind of call it ripped from the headlines. Focus on the news is really what kind of had a running theme of messages over the last few weeks. The Lord has just kept me in these type of messages because of these latter days, like Paul mentioned there, not believing that we wouldn't be here for much longer. And I feel that's the truth. I feel that we are in the latter days. And but I want us to read our text this morning. If you're able to stand, I'd like to ask you to stand for the reading of God's Word. Acts chapter 24, starting with verse 24. And here the Bible says, "And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, 'Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee.' He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might loose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus came into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound." Father, we thank you for the reading of your word today. I pray, God, now that you bless it, Lord, may you do a mighty work within our hearts today. These things we ask in Jesus' name, and amen. You can be seated. Well, I titled the message this morning, another message concerning America. America, no time for God. And these things that we're ripping out of the headlines here recently have all been centered around our nation. I mean, our nation, like Brother Dockery was just talking about, how things have gone so far downhill, how bad it's gotten, and just another sign of it. But America, no time for God this morning. I noticed today that Americans have a lot of time. We seem to have a lot of time for a lot of things. Seems we have time to do the things that we really want to do. Seems we've got time to keep up with the Kardashians. We got time to for 24 million people to tune in to the Republican debates. We've got time for 10 million people last week on NBC's America's Got Talent to watch that show. 10 million people tuned in to watch that. We've got time to Twitter. We've got time to Facebook. We've got time to blog. We've got time to go out and eat. We've got time to play sports. We've got time to watch sports. We've got time to listen to music. We've got time to watch DVDs. We've got time for everything in this world except for God. We've got time for everything. And if you'll be quite honest with yourself, you will find that the things that you want to do, you will find the time to do them. You'll find them. Now, sometimes I feel like I'm preaching to the choir, these faithful folks that come here and listen intently to God's Word. And I know that you've made time for God this morning to come out and listen to what He has to say and to be edified with the saints and to be the New Testament church that we need to be. But in our opening text, we find here the Apostle Paul is in another predicament, like Paul often was. We find that he has been seized. It actually happened with the Jews. He was in the temple in Jerusalem, and the Jews came in and discovered him there, and they accused him of defiling the temple. So naturally, what did they do? They drug old Paul out of the temple. They took him out in the middle of the street, and they were determined to kill him. And if it was not for the Roman centurions that were standing guard that day on the outside, they would have done so. They would have killed Paul on that day because of their hatred for him. But the Roman centurions stepped in and they stopped the people. And they took Paul and they put him under a arrest, if you will. They can call it that. They arrested him. You see, the Jews had accused him of something. And of course, because there was a riot out in the streets, the Romans were bound to arrest whoever was involved. And there was Paul right in the middle of the whole melee. So they take Paul and they detain him. And they put him up before several people to try to explain what's going on. He has to explain himself there in front of the Sanhedrin court, which he used to be a member of, and the head of. He has to explain himself before the Pharisees, before the high priest, and anyone that would come there to listen. Paul had to explain why in the world he was causing all this problem. And it all came down to he really wasn't doing anything wrong. But nevertheless, they had to hold him. And so what they decide to do is take him up before the governor of the land, the governor there of Judea. His name, as the Bible tells us, was Felix. We name our cats Felix a lot of times nowadays. But this Felix was no small kitten. He was no calm little animal. Let me tell you who this Felix was. Felix was a dreadful governor. Felix was somebody that was bound and determined to make his own way in this world, to do whatever it took in his power to make money. And we saw from reading our text there that his whole purpose for keeping Paul all this time was to try to get money out of Paul. He thought that Paul had some money that he would pay him to be able to release him from prison. If Paul didn't have it, well, surely he could call upon all of his friends, upon those churches that all support him, and they would pay his way out of prison. So that's what Felix was waiting for. He wanted some money. Felix was an awful type person. To kind of get an understanding of who he was and his wife. Did you notice that name, Drusilla? I tell you what, that's a name. Wouldn't you hate to be stuck with Drusilla? I mean, that's kind of like Cruella, isn't it? Cruella DeVille. Drusilla DeVille. To get a little better understanding of who these two are, we kind of have to consult history a little bit. And history tells us that neither one of these people was worth the time of day. I mean, they were rotten down to the very core. Felix, he was a rotten ruler. He was known, his real name was Antonius Felix. And like the Bible said, he's the governor of Judea. He's kind of like the Bill Haslam of Judea. Bill Haslam's our governor of Tennessee. And so Felix is kind of in that role. But being a Roman governor, he was pretty bad man. He was known. He'd been holding this position for about 8 years at this time. And he was known for being cruel and always accepting of bribes. That was his thing. If you thought of Felix, you thought that's the guy that takes the bribes. You can pay him off for whatever it is that you've been in trouble for. Well, Felix had been through three wives. This is either his second or third wife. I kind of had a hard time trying to narrow it down which one it was. His first wife's name was Drusilla as well. And this wife's name's Drusilla. So he must like them Drusilla DeVilles out there. But he tried everything in his power to have all the money and the bribes. But this Drusilla, she was the daughter of Herod Agrippa. Another rotten person. And history tells us that this Drusilla was very beautiful. In fact, that's why that Felix just fell in love with her. Felix saw her one day and fell head over heels in love with Drusilla. And he, with the help of Simon the sorcerer, he talked her into leaving her husband. She'd been married twice now. And talked her into leaving her husband and marrying him. And so that's what she's done. She's following the money, of course. And so they have got married, and she's left her husband. And we first read about Felix in Acts 23, the previous chapter there, where the Romans had sent for him to hear Paul's case. And so Paul comes before him and tries to give him a rundown. He tells him what's happened and why he's been arrested. And then Felix says, well, I tell you what, Paul, I'm going to wait a little bit. When I've got time, I'm going to come back and hear some more of this, and we'll make a decision at that time. So this is the kind of people that we're dealing with here in this story. So look at our opening text. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. So now we find that Paul is not explaining the reasons he's been arrested now. He's over that. He's already done that. That's over and done. He's explained himself. So now the governor comes before him to hear him. He finally makes a little time to come hear Paul. Well, don't think of this as like he's doing Paul a favor. He's not. He's in it for himself. Him and Drusilla has come to watch a show. They've come to watch Paul burn. They've come to listen to him and to be entertained and hopefully get some money out of it. And so they come in all their royal pomp and circumstance, which they would have expected everybody to be bowing down to them and to treating them like royalty. I mean, he's the governor and the governor's wife. I mean, these are real high people. And so they make time to come and see Paul. But do you notice it said concerning the faith in Christ? So Paul's not going to spend his time defending himself now. He's spending his time preaching the gospel. And you'll find that the reason Paul says in Philippians 1 and 12, but I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather under the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. He's talking about just little scenes like this right here. Just like this little scene in the palace that he's being held in right now. He has free reign in this palace, by the way. Felix has gave him the liberty to go around, and he's not chained down right now. And they're allowing his friends to come in and see him. That's kind of probably to measure them out to see who's got all the money. But he's allowed to have some free reign within the palace, but he's still under house arrest. He can't leave, can't go off and do anything. And so they come to him, and Paul says, you know what, it's times like this that I'm able to preach the gospel. At times that I otherwise would not have been able to reach the governor of Judea, I now have that ability because of my bonds in Christ. Because I've been arrested, I'm under house arrest, I now have the ability to preach Jesus to this man that's probably never heard it before. And so it's giving the furtherance of the gospel. These bonds have been made manifest in Christ for me. Paul is getting the opportunity of a lifetime to share the gospel with one of the cruelest men upon the face of the earth. And this is what an opportune time. Our missionaries today, preachers today, this would have been your defining moment in life to be able to stand before the governor. Oh, what it would be to be able to go and stand before our Muslim president today and tell him about the gospel of Jesus Christ and preach to him the gospel and tell him that if he doesn't repent of his sins and trust Jesus as his Savior, that he will go to hell. What a wonderful opportunity that would be. And that's what the same thing Paul's getting to do. Remember now, Felix being the governor, he has the authority to release Paul or to condemn Paul or to have Paul even prosecuted and executed. He has the ability to do that. He has the ability to release him and to forgive him, just like Bill Haslam. He has the ability to go and to get a man off death row. He can make a call. It can come down to 1 minute before 12 o'clock before execution. And Bill Haslam could get on the phone and ring it up and say, hey, stop the execution. This is the same type of guy right here. He's got that ability. He's got that power. And you would think most men today would have been sitting there in front of Felix, groveling at his feet, saying, oh, Governor Felix, oh, please let me out of here. Oh, I'll give you anything that you want. I promise not to ever preach Jesus again. I promise not to go back into the temple again. I promise not to upset the Jews. I promise to give you money. I'll do anything that you want. Just let me out of here. I want to go home. Wouldn't that what most men would do? But not Paul. He's done with that. He's done with giving his story. Now he's wanting to say, listen here, Felix, I'm going to tell you about Jesus. I'm going to tell you about faith in Christ. Let me tell you how I got saved. And I know without a shadow of a doubt, Paul told him about that little trip he made on that road to Damascus and how the Lord Jesus gloriously and wondrously saved him and brought him out of that life of sin and saved him. And I guarantee he did that. And Paul would rather stay in prison and preach than to get out. Verse 25 of our text says, and as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I'll call for thee. So Paul talks to Felix and Drusilla. I can see right now the blood draining out of their faces as they sit there in their little fancy clothes, probably had their little fancy seat, probably carried in by a bunch of soldiers and protectors, walked in there, and now they're ready to hear Paul, what he's got to say, and like they're doing him some big favor or something. I can just see them sitting there in their big fat state, and all of a sudden, all the blood draining out of their face. I can see those old knuckles gripping across anything they could reach on and turning white. I can see the look inside of their faces as they sat there and they listened to what Paul had to say. And they said, oh my God, we've been convicted. Oh, what have we done? The Bible says that Felix trembled. How many times have you trembled in your life? Not from being cold, but from being scared, from being convicted, from being tormented inside. There's been very few times that I've ever trembled at anything. But I want you to know the day that the Holy Spirit convicted me, I trembled. When the Holy Spirit touched my heart and it scared me to death and I thought I was going to die at a young age, and I trembled. Felix was getting conviction of the Holy Ghost on that day and he trembled. Why did he tremble? Because he had a picture of hell opening itself open and him dropping off into it because of the sins that he committed. Because he knew he was a lost man. Because he knew he was defiled. Because he knew he was sinful. And he trembled. He trembled under that because of the fear the Holy Ghost had put inside of him. As through Paul's preaching, I can just see old Drusilla sitting there in all her prettiness.
how ugly she must have looked as she fell under the conviction of the Holy Ghost. The Bible doesn't mention her trembling, but I guarantee you she felt that same conviction. Felix was there and he was trembling. They've never been spoken to this way. I guarantee nobody ever has came to Felix and Drusilla and talked to them the way Paul's talking to them. Paul was telling them, he pointed out the sin. He pointed out the reason Jesus came. He pointed out the reason Jesus died. He pointed out the fact that you must trust Jesus as your Savior or you'll die and go to hell. Nobody's ever talked to these people that way. They don't know what to do. And they're trembling. I can see them sitting there all smug. And then all of a sudden, boy, wouldn't you like to have been a little fly on the wall that day to watch that going on? But Paul, through the power of the Holy Spirit, is showing them the truth about the gospel. And it's convicting Felix. Instead of doing what the Roman jailer... You remember the Roman jailer? Remember when old Paul and Silas went down there at Philippi and they got put in prison? They got cast down to the lower part of it. And they were down there and it looked like all hope was lost. And what the Bible said they do, and with their stripes, they've been beaten. Remember, they've been beaten, bound, chained up, put down at the bottom of the prison. And the Bible says they begin singing. They were down there singing and praising God in the bottom of that prison. And what happened? The Lord shook those bars off that prison. Those people got out of there. Their chains were loosened. And everybody in that prison could have left that day. But they didn't. And that old Roman jailer, he come down. Remember, he's ready to take his life because he knew that the Romans would if they found out about this. And Paul stopped him. And what did that Roman jailer say? What must I do to be saved? What do I got to do to have what you've got? How can I rectify the awful, sinful man that I am? What can I do, Paul? Tell me, what can I do? I got to know. That was the Holy Ghost convicting that Roman jailer. Felix was under that same conviction. But instead of asking, what can I do? He said, I don't have time for this. I'll come back some other time and talk to you. I don't have time for this. I got to go. I got places to go, people to see, things to do. I'm a busy, busy man. I don't have time for this. As he trembled his way out the door, under the conviction of the Holy Ghost, he should have asked, sir, what can I do to be saved? What can I do to know this Jesus that you're talking about? But he didn't. He walked away. He walked away. I want to tell you, friends, there's two things that a man will do under conviction of the Holy Ghost. He will either realize he's a lost sinner, he'll repent of his sins and trust Christ as his Savior, or he will reject the Holy Ghost and he will run, he will walk away. He'll try to get out of that conviction. He'll try to go off. I've known people like this in my ministry. I have preached to and I've watched them fall into the conviction. I've watched them, and I've told you this before, I've watched them avoid me at the door, trying to get out of there, going down the steps, ducking, trying to walk by, walking their back toward me, getting up during the middle of the invitation and leaving, going out in the parking lot and smoking, doing all kinds of things, but try to get out of from under that conviction, not coming back to church and telling me, I don't come down there because when you preach, I get convicted. And they tell me this. And the Holy Ghost will do one of two things. He'll convict you and you'll accept Christ, or he'll convict you and you'll reject him. Felix has rejected Christ. Revelation 2 and 5, Jesus says, remember, he's talking to the church, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen and repent and do the first works, or else I'll come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place except thou repent. Jesus, all through the Bible, he said he came to call sinners unto repentance. Repent and be ye saved. We are to repent of our sins. That lost man needs to repent and trust Jesus. Or will we turn tail and run like Felix? Will the Holy Ghost run us away? He's not the one running you away. You're running yourself away. The devil's running yourself away. Felix was so convicted in his evil ways that he was trembling. Trembling. He says, I don't have time for God. I don't have time. I don't have time for this, Paul. What are we saying in America today when our churches are mostly empty? You come back on Sunday nights to any church in this area and you'll have a handful of faithful people. Sunday mornings, about the same. You'll have the few and the faithful. Our churches used to be overflowing. We used to have to put out chairs. We used to have to do all those types of things. Nowadays, you've got your choice of seats. It's a lot different today. People don't have time for God in America. And what's happened as a result? Well, look at all the things that's going on today. Open up the newspaper today. Get on the internet and look at one of the news sites. And you tell me the reflection of this country because we've no time for God. And you'll find it right there in your headlines. I mean, we're more concerned about Cecil the Lion than we are about little babies getting murdered. We're more concerned about what the Kardashians are wearing this week than if whether or not we're going to church or not. We're more concerned with Bruce Jenner turning himself into a woman than we are of the things of God today. And that's what's become of Christianity in America today. Friends, I want you to know today that we need more people trembling under the fear of the Holy Ghost today. We need more people knowing that they're bound for hell if they don't change their wicked ways. But we have no time for God. I invite people to church all the time. You know what the number one excuse is to me? The first thing they say is, okay, I'll come, I'll be there. And they never show up. But the other most excuse that I hear is, I don't have time. You know, Brother Byron, I work all week. I'm tired. Weekend's the only time I got. I got to do things. I mean, I've got to mow the yard. I've got things I've got to do. You know, it's the weekend. It's the weekend. I don't have time to go down to church. You know that? And I hear it all the time, excuse after excuse. But yet somehow, miraculously, Sunday morning they had time to lay in bed till 10:30 in the morning. Had time to get up and eat Pop-Tarts or go to Cracker Barrel. Had time to go out and shop on Sunday. Had time to watch 4 hours of football. Had time to watch a 6-hour race on TV. Had time to do that. Somehow they had that time. But they didn't have time to spend 2 hours in the house of God on a Sunday morning or on Sunday. They didn't have time for that. My. America, no time for God. You know it's true. You know it's true. If you love God, if you love His people, if you love the church, your life will reflect that. It will show that. Verse 26 of our text says, "He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, and that he might lose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him." Now, one of the scariest parts of this whole passage right here, we find first in verse 25, Felix was convicted of the Holy Ghost. He trembled under conviction. But we see in the next verse, 26, there's no other mention of that. It's not mentioned again that he trembled under the conviction of the Holy Ghost. There's no mention that Felix was now concerned about his eternity. Nothing else is said about that. And that's the scary part. You see, friends, there comes a time when God has gave up on you. The Bible says that His arm's not short, that He can't save. We know that His love and mercy is everlasting and enduring. We know that it's because of those mercies that we're allowed to even breathe, like we was talking about, and like Jesus holds our hands, the only way we can walk. But there comes a time, my friend, when you deny the conviction of the Holy Ghost enough, and He will give you up to your own flesh. He'll give you up to your own desires. There we find that Felix here, apparently, nothing else is said about him. We don't know that he ever trusted Jesus as Savior. The Bible never mentions it. We don't know that it was ever even talked about, for he ever come under conviction again. Listen to what the Bible says in Isaiah 59:1. "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear." But listen to verse 2. A lot of people leave verse 2 out. "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you, that He will not hear." He will not hear. We are living under God's grace right now. We're in the grace age. We're in the church age. We're living under that grace. But there comes a time when you've rejected, you've pushed, you have fought back so far, there comes a time when God will give you over to your own flesh. Let me give you an example in your Bible. Turn over to 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4. This is a very scary passage of Scripture to me. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4. We're going to read through to verse 6. The Bible says here, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness, to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, the preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, and condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly. Do you see what happened? Noah, the preacher of righteousness, preached for 120 years as he built the ark. It took 120 years to build this. Every day Noah, the Bible says, was a preacher of righteousness. Do you think that he kept his mouth shut the whole time they were building that ark? Do you think he stood out there and ignored the people that walked by and wagged their heads and made fun of him? I guarantee you that Noah stood out there and he preached righteousness. He preached that they must accept God. They must repent of their sins. They must turn to God or they'd be destroyed. And he preached this for 120 years. And for 120 years, it fell on their deaf ears. For 120 years, they walked by, they shook their heads, they wagged their heads, they made fun of him, they clicked their tongues, they sat down at supper at night, made fun of old Noah over there, that crazy coot over there building that boat. They made fun of him for 120 years. And then that first raindrop fell. That raindrop started falling on them, on their houses. It started falling upon their heads as they were outside. It started filling up the bottoms of their homes. It started coming up their knees, up to their waist. And I guarantee you at that time, then they want to say, what was that you said, Noah? What was you saying about us and God? What was you saying? Right now, I'm ready. But what the Bible said, it's too late. It's too late. For 120 years, God's grace period was open to these people to accept Him and to turn from their evil ways and trust Him. But what did they do? They rejected Him. They pushed Him too far, and by that time, it was too late. The Bible says that God closed the door of that ark. And when He closed that door of that ark, it was too late. There's no going in. And I can see this with my mind right now as those people clawed and scratched and screamed and beat on the side of that ark. Just praying that they would open that door and let them on. But that door was shut by the hand of God, not to be open until the time. And so God gave them up. He gave them up. Friend, you may not make time for God right now. You may think you've got all the time in the world. I know some people today that think, that's silly Christians. Those people down in Highland. Out these little churches, they're all crazy. They're all crazy, talking about God and Jesus and all this stuff. They make fun of us, they do. And they don't have time for God. There'll be a day that they'll be wishing they'd made time for God. There will be a day. When you close your eyes in death, and the Bible says the appointed unto men wants to die, and after that the judgment. When you close your eyes in death, you will open them up, and you'll be in one of two places. You're either going to be in the pits of hell, or you're going to be in the presence of the Lord. If you have trusted Jesus as your Savior here on this earth before you leave it, you'll open your eyes in the presence of the Lord. If you've not made time for Him and never trusted Him as Savior, never repented of your sins and trusted Christ to save you, by faith, trusted Him, you'll open your eyes in the pits of hell in torment. Forever in eternity. And that's just the truth from the Bible today. Friend, we must make time now. There's no little angels named Clarence like in A Wonderful Life that's going to come and let you live your life over. That's it. There's no doing overs. Verse 27 of our text said, but after 2 years, Porcius Festus came into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. Friends, as far as we can tell, Felix died lost. Felix is in hell today, burning in torments. It says that a new guy took over, a new governor, Festus. You know, he didn't make time for Paul or God either. In fact, he told Paul that he was a madman. Told him he was a madman. Then the king Agrippa, he also stood before Paul. Do you remember what he said to him? Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. As far as we can tell, all these men died and went to hell. You're not almost a Christian. You're either Christian or you're not. And friends, today, the Bible says, today, now, today is the day of salvation. Because you don't know what's on the other side of this day. You may not make it there. What about you this morning? You're here, you're obviously making some time for God. I don't know your motive for being at church today, whether it's to show off your nice clothes, or whether it's to talk to people or see other people or what. Or was it to come to worship God, to exalt His holy name, to learn something from the Bible? I hope it was that. But friends, I tell you what, we must make time for God today. Tomorrow's too late.
like the ladies to come and get the invitation song. I'd like us to stand this morning. I want you to pray with me. And if you've never made time for God, you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, I want you to know that today would be the day that you could trust Him. Today is the day you could repent of your sins and ask Christ to come into your heart and save you. Is that you today? Do you need to come down to this altar and let me pray with you today? Or show you from the Bible how to be saved? We can do that today. Let's pray together. And if you have a need, you come to this altar. Father, we come to you today, God, just asking for your help in this invitation time. Lord, I preached your word today, Lord. I pray, Lord, that if the Holy Ghost has been convicting hearts, God, that you'll convict them and they will come to you, God, and not turn away. God, they'll make time for you today. Lord, if they're not in this church today, maybe they're listening to you to us on sermon audio or on YouTube, God, wherever it may be played today, God, that person that's listening that's not been making time for you, Lord, but God, that you'll show them they need to be saved before it's too late. God, would you help those today that are struggling? Lord, there may be one here today that's backslidden. God, they've gotten out of your will. They're not walking in fellowship with you. God, they need that relationship restored. God, they need to feel that presence in their life again. Is there one like that today, God? Would you convict them, have them come down and pray today? Is there one? While we're praying together, if you have a need, come to this altar this morning. Let's pray with you, whatever it may be. Whether it's for salvation, a backslidden condition. Maybe you want to join this church this morning. Any of those things today. If you want to come down, I'll pray with you and we'll talk.